Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. It's my honor to have as our guest today Amy Palmer, President and CEO of Soldiers Angels. Welcome to the podcast as our first guest in 2021, Amy.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Amy, can you tell us a little bit about Soldiers Angels?
Soldiers Angels is a national nonprofit organization. We provide support to deployed service members, families of wounded, ill, and injured service members, and the wounded themselves, and of course, veterans of all generations.
And what type of support do you provide them?
Soldiers Angels was actually founded by General Patton's family, and initially when they started, one of the Patton grandkids was deployed. And so initially our focus was really on supporting deployed families. So for the first 12 years of the program, we had over 180,000 volunteers come through our system and adopt and support a deployed service member with care packages and cards and letters. We still do that, but you know, as deployments drew down, we shifted to focus more on families and then of course veterans of all generations with a partnership through the VA medical centers.
I'm sure we're going to learn more about some of the programs that you have, Amy, so that's great to know. But I did read that the founder of Soldiers Angels, Patty Patton Bader, personally asked you to be her successor, and here you are, which is awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Soldiers Angels, and why did you decide to say yes to the CEO position?
Absolutely. So I had been with another military and veteran charity for about 12 years, and I had known Patty because we were both had a large presence in San Antonio, and so I had worked really closely with her and their team. She'd asked me actually a couple of times along the way to consider coming over to Soldiers Angels, but I was really happy where I was. It wasn't until she said that they were considering closing the organization that I decided to step up, because after spending some time kind of looking at the infrastructure of the organization and seeing all that the volunteers were doing and just how committed they were, I really felt that it would be doing a disservice to the service members and, of course, the amazing volunteers the organization had if the organization had closed. So at that point, I agreed to come over and take over for her when she actually retired.
And I'm sure she was very excited that you said yes. So when you came over, what did you find and how maybe did you change the organization?
The Pattons family and Patty in general had a strong commitment to serving. And of course, in the early days after 9/11, donors were giving money to support military and veterans families. The money was just flowing. And so a lot of times the organizations that started post 9/11 really didn't have the nonprofit's governance understanding, but they wanted to serve people. And so they continued to do that. And when times got tough in 2008 and, you know, money was harder and they had to actually go out and start writing grants and pursuing individual donors and putting the infrastructure in place to really support it, a lot of organizations had struggles and Soldiers Angels was no different. And so they had continued to serve service members at the level that they had previously, but the money wasn't coming in as quickly to be able to support it. And so Soldiers Angels found themselves in a financial situation. So the first thing we did really was kind of look at that infrastructure and the financial situation of the organization. And we made a lot of changes financially. At the time, our headquarters was in Pasadena, California. We closed that office. I moved to San Antonio. Myself and our first staff person under the new infrastructure worked from my kitchen table until we could afford to commit and sign a lease for new office space. And so we really just restructured quite a lot then. We continued doing the deployed support, but then we started looking at how do we shift to support a different population. And one of the best ways for us, because, you know, we had a lot of donors who were sending care package items and people knew us for care packages. So we were getting snacks and hygiene items. So we were trying to find ways we could take those items and use them for a different population because we couldn't send them all overseas anymore. The need for them just wasn't there. And so we shifted and we took those hygiene items that we were getting for care packages and started using them to make hygiene kits for veteran patients. So veterans at VA medical centers don't get the hygiene items like you get in a civilian hospital, you know, deodorant, toothbrush, those sorts of things. And so we started using those hygiene items to make hygiene kits. We started using a lot of the non-perishable snack items to make box lunches for homeless and low-income veterans that couldn't afford to eat that were coming in for homeless services at the VA. So we used the fruit cups and the granola bars and the tuna and chicken salad kits and those sorts of things to make box lunches. So, you know, instead of trying to redirect our donors, we just figured out a way to use what we had to support a different population.
I love that story. And it's so important that nonprofits, especially smaller nonprofits, know that they can pivot when they need to. And understanding that pivot is so incredibly important to the success of moving forward. So good for you. That is just amazing. I know that you've just completed a holiday Adopt a Soldier program. How did it go? It seemed like you had some extra funds for that and were able to reach out to more people than usual.
It went really great, actually. We did just finish our Adopt a Family program, as well as we finished our holiday stocking collection drive, stockings for our service members, and those went to deployed and veteran patients, and also we're also sending to National Guard units as well. We weren't sure how both of them would go going into it just because of COVID and, you know, people not being able to go shop or not comfortable shopping in stores. And so we were a little leery about Adopt a Family and our holiday stocking program, but it actually went really well. Both of them did really well. Our Adopt a Family program actually was greater than normal this year because a lot of people, a lot of companies that were virtual this year wanted to engage their employees by having them do something virtually. And so a lot of them asked them to adopt from home. So we actually had greater number of people wanting to adopt this year than normal. So last year we did about 900 families. This year we did about 1400 families, which is a pretty big increase from last year. But just in commitments for companies, they had committed to about half of those families. So we actually adopted everybody that applied and got approved this year. So it was a huge success. We had people waiting each day for families to be posted so they could adopt them. It was just so awesome to see that. Even the big families, we actually had a family with 18 kids and a company jumped at that opportunity and took that family. And so some of them previously were a little harder to place, but there were just people waiting to take them. So it was so exciting to see this year.
Wow, 18 kids. That's amazing. And what a great program. So when a company or a person adopts a family, what is it exactly that they do?
So basically, the companies or the individuals could register with our website and they could go and search for a family based on home state, family size, and then they would send them a gift card towards their holiday meal, so $50 to $100, depending on family size. And then they sent at least one gift for each child. We estimate about $35 per child is what kind of the minimum we expected people to spend on the families, just so that they had at least a few things for the holidays. So, you know, if they took a small family, it would be about $150, but some spent $1,000, $2,000 or more on their families. So taking a family with 18 kids to be able to buy each something at $35 at least is a pretty expensive undertaking. And so we were looking for really kind of the right company to take that family, but someone jumped right away and took them. And we actually called them right after and said, okay, are you guys all okay with this? You know, you understand it's a large family and what the commitments are. And they were really super excited to do it. So it was a great story. But we had several large families. You know, we had a couple with a dozen kids or more in the family. And so people just were really excited getting pictures in of families and pictures in of people packing the gifts and sending them out and stories from the families receiving them. A couple of them even sent holiday trees because they didn't have a tree. It's just been an amazing year and we're really excited to see the generosity of people. You know, knowing that this year was going to be harder to shop in person and go to the post office and all those sorts of things, people have been creative and shopping online and doing other things to make sure it's a really great holiday for those families.
Amy, that's fantastic. And what a great news story that is. So I imagine that with the success of the holiday programs that you've had this year and really seeing that folks have really stepped up to the plate, especially during this time of the pandemic, you must be really excited for 2021. What are your plans for 2021? And then I wanted to ask an additional question attached to that is it solely for Army families or are you Purple where families from other services can participate?
That's a great question. Soldiers Angels does serve all branches of the service and veterans, of course, of all generations as well. The name Soldiers Angels came because, of course, General Patton's family and General Patton's grandchild that was deployed was Army. So that's where the name Soldiers Angels came from. But for the general population, that's not really kind of in the loop and embedded in the military community. For them, soldiers is a generic term. And so we continue to run with that name, but we do serve all branches of the service. As far as what we're planning for 2021, we are really excited about it. I mean, this year has really been tough with COVID and not being able to be in the VA medical centers and doing the things that we typically do. We've had to look at kind of alternative ways of serving veterans, but we're really excited to be back in the VA hospitals, hopefully sometime in 2021. We're starting to in a few places, or we have been in a few places and then things have changed and the numbers have gone up. And so we're hoping to be able to do that further in 2021. We added some new programs earlier this year for veterans, canteen gift cards for veterans who come to the VA for appointments and can't afford to eat in the VA cafeteria. So particularly those that are fasting for dialysis or chemo and need a meal. And so we can give them a gift card to go eat in the VA cafeteria for about $5 to $7 for them to be able to get a warm meal. It's a really great price. And so we started offering those to VAs for social workers and medical staff to give out to veteran patients who couldn't otherwise afford to eat in the cafeteria. We're going to continue to expand that program in 2021. As I said, the numbers are down in the hospitals right now of patients that are coming in for routine services and things. So we haven't done a lot of those this year, but we hope to and plan to continue to grow that in 2021. We also added a new program to provide transportation services, Uber, Lyft, Greyhound, and public transportation for veterans who can't get to appointments. We actually found out that there were veterans that were not attending dialysis and chemo and major appointments because of transportation challenges. And to miss chemo is a huge deal, and it's an important thing. And so if they had immune issues and, you know, public transportation was a challenge for them, they were weak because of chemo and dialysis and those sorts of things and had trouble getting there, you know, Uber and Lyft and other services were really important for those populations to get them to their appointments. And so we've seen since we started that missed appointments have gone down in the VAs that were offering that service, which is a huge deal with saving lives. And so we are continuing to add to that and hope to do that in 2021 as the VAs start opening up and start taking those patients again for those routine care and regular services.
Well, bless your hearts, and you really truly are angels, because you are absolutely right. Some of the treatments, chemo, dialysis, others, you just really can't miss because you're risking your life by missing them. So the opportunity for you to be able to support their transportation, you know, to and from is incredibly important. And gosh, thank you so much for that. I wanted to also ask a question about trends and wondering if you're seeing any trends within military families that you serve because of COVID-19. And I would imagine that the pandemic has made things worse. And how are you responding to those needs?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of changes since COVID-19. I mean, we knew we couldn't go into the VAs to do the kinds of services that we typically provide. So we're not able to go feed veterans where we normally would do luncheons and dinners for veteran patients in the different clinics and the residential inpatient domiciliary and such. And so those all stopped. We did donuts and coffee where we would serve those to veterans waiting for appointments. And of course, that stopped. Some of the other where we just passed out items and things in the hospitals, of course, that all came to a halt. So we started looking at ways we could shift support to be able to continue to engage our volunteers and our teams and our donors. And, you know, with restaurants taking a big hit during COVID and a lot of them donating those meals, we wanted to give back to them as well. And so we started buying those meals and feeding VA staff. So in a lot of the locations where we were doing luncheons and dinners, it shifted and instead wasn't to veteran patients as much. Although if they were there, we did feed them, but we also started feeding VA staff with those luncheons and dinners and then buying the meals from the restaurants that had been supporting us. We also started doing masks and hand sanitizer. We've sent millions of dollars worth of hand sanitizer to National Guard units, to deployed units, to VA medical centers. Initially, we were doing a lot with activated Guard and Reserve units that were setting up those hospitals and convention center parking lots and things because they had little access to things while they were on the ground at those facilities. So sending them snacks, sending them sanitizer, making sure they had masks was really important. So we started serving a lot of them. We also added to our mobile food distributions and started providing meal delivery to those that were at risk to come to our mobile food distributions. And so we partnered with Meals on Wheels and other organizations to add some of our high-risk clients to be able to get home delivery of meals. We've been supporting the vaccine trials at VAs by providing snacks to veterans waiting for those trials and juice boxes and water bottles and things. So we definitely have shifted quite a lot to make sure that we were meeting the needs currently. And we did apply for a lot of COVID-specific grants, so we had the funding specifically to support those during the crisis. And we also had actually shifted our transportation services as well. We were transporting homeless veterans that were testing for COVID that needed to be quarantined. So the VAs had to find places to house them temporarily while they were quarantined. And so we started providing specifically medical transport for those veterans to get them to where they needed to go. So we did have to make a major shift, but it was worth it to make sure that we were able to support that population. And, you know, instead of just saying, oh, well, let's wait, we wanted to make sure we were serving people the best we could.
Wow, that's amazing. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast with you is because, you know, people just don't know the goodness that's out there. And you certainly have focused quite a bit on veterans, especially with the COVID pandemic, putting so many types of challenges in front of them. You really have stepped up to the plate and answered that call. So thank you again for that. And I know you also have programs for military families, such as I think you have a big baby shower program for military spouses that are expecting babies and other things. And I wanted to let families know about this and know that they are eligible to be able to participate in the programs. And, you know, when we get towards the end, I'm sure you'll share your website address with us. But what I'm wondering is, do you sense a reluctance among eligible families to participate in your programs? And if so, what can we do to help encourage participation?
We do initially, I think, until people get used to our programs and services, and particularly like with our mobile food distribution, a lot of people, when they hear about food distributions, they think about lines at food banks waiting in line to get food. And it's not actually like that at all. It's drive-through format. They get a time slot. They show up in their time slot. They don't have to wait hours to pick up food. They don't have to get out and stand in any line. And so I think once they see it and get familiar with it, then they're more likely to participate. We find that the younger veterans are less likely to participate, particularly student veterans. And so we've been trying to promote it to that population of people because financially they're also a lot of them in need and could use the food. And so they may be more hesitant to participate. With our Adopt-A-Family program in particular, we had that challenge as well. I think there were people that struggled to provide for their kids, but didn't feel like they were needy, and so they may have been hesitant to apply. And we tried to really encourage them. The program wasn't meant to be the sole source of the holiday support for a family, and in some cases it was, but that wasn't the intent. That's why, you know, it was limited to $50 to $100 for food and $35 for each kid. It was meant to be a supplement, and it wasn't really based on people that were in poverty-stricken families. It really was a thank you for your service, and we want to help. And so getting that message across did take a little bit of messaging. And I think once people have done it, they're more comfortable with it the next time. Same thing with our baby showers and some of our other programs, our caregiver program. It's meant to say thank you, not meant to say you can't do this and you need our help. It's really meant to be a thank you. Like our baby showers, we don't provide everything they need for their baby. We supplement it. And so we want people to apply for that. And we really want to do that as a thank you for them. We actually had a post on our Soldiers Angels Facebook from a family that got a bunch of items for their baby. And the theme was sunflowers. And they got homemade blankets and things with sunflowers on them from some of our sewing and crafting members and things. And they appreciated it. And that's what it's about, is showing them that we support them.
Absolutely. And I love the thank you for your service aspect of it, because the community at large really wants to support the military and tries to find ways to do that. So when they find organizations such as yours, they get excited, they want to participate. And then moving that participation over to the receiver sometimes can be a challenge, but you know, it's not about you can't do it. It's really about thank you. And here's a little something, you know, that shows our appreciation. So that's fantastic. Would you tell us the best way for folks to find out about Soldiers Angels? And it's not just people that might participate in the programs, but it's also people that need to know about it so they can tell eligible families and veterans about the program, and also those that maybe want to contribute in some way.
Yeah, so you can go to our website at soldiersangels.org, and there's information there about volunteering. There's information about registering as a client. So for service members that are deploying, or for family members that have service members deploying, they can register them for deployed support. They can also register to get notices of our food distributions on our website at soldiersangels.org. So there's a lot of great information on there. Our social media platform is also great. We post everything there as well, and opportunities and upcoming things on there. So we encourage everyone to visit that as well. You know, as I mentioned, it's really about thanking people for their service. So for people that know people, we want to really make sure that that message is getting out to them, where a lot of times they're used to charities and going to nonprofit organizations when they can't pay a bill, or they can't pay utilities, or those sorts of things. And Soldiers Angels doesn't do financial assistance, but we do a lot of other things that are really geared towards being a thank you for their service. So everything is available on our website at soldiersangels.org, whether they want to get services, whether they want to volunteer with us, whether they want to donate to the cause. It's full of great information.
Fantastic. Thank you, Amy. And we are getting close to the end of our time together, and you have given us such great information. But is there anything else you'd like to tell our audience that we might have missed?
You know, a lot of people aren't aware of Soldiers Angels, and they come to us and say, hey, I have not heard of you before. We have not spent a lot of money on marketing. We have not bought any commercials and those sorts of things. So there are people that don't know about Soldiers Angels, but we are a credible organization. We've been around since 2003. We are 4-star rated with Charity Navigator several consecutive years. Only 1% of the population of charities that have registered are 4-star rated consecutively. We're BBB rated. We're great nonprofits, top organizations. We were actually the number one rated charity in the state of Texas and in the top 5 in the country with great nonprofits the last several years. So we are a credible organization. Even if you don't know about us, we have been around a really long time and we do good work and we use our money wisely. Our overhead is only about 3% a year, which is really, really low. You know, industry standards are 75% or greater. And so we're at 96, 97 every year. So we are a great organization to donate to get involved in, or to seek support from. So hopefully people will reach out and connect with us.
Absolutely, Amy. This is really why I wanted to do this, because you are a really great organization and folks need to know about you. And thank you again so much for everything that you do and all of your volunteers and your organizations, your funders, your families that participate. It's fantastic. I wanted to go ahead and remind our listeners again to go to www.soldiersangels.org so that you can find out more information. Keep it in your hip pocket. There might be a family that needs to know, or you might also want to get involved somehow. So thank you again for being a wonderful guest, Amy, and we look forward to supporting Soldiers Angels in some way in 2021.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.